number three, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. We have learned during the course of the show today that apparently, at least allegedly, reportedly...
Yeah, you got to say all those caveats.
Josh McDaniels is not leaving. He did not get the Packers job. That went to Matt LaFleur, as you heard during the award-winning Trending Now.
Thank you, Dale.
Matt LaFleur got that job. Josh McDaniels did acknowledge he interviewed for the job this past weekend, but either didn't get it or declined to take it. It is more likely he didn't get it. Why would you take the interview if you were then going to turn around and decline it?
I would assume he did not get the job.
That would be my assumption as well. He said today he has had no contact with the Cleveland Browns, but he also said the book is closed. He's not going anywhere. He's going to be here for the foreseeable future, staying as the offensive coordinator. Now, this gets back to the age-old question. By the way, he also said his duties didn't change this year. Remember the whole, I'm going to open my world?
Yeah,
and all
did
that?
He open the world for him? Show him his world?
Well, if he did, he
on a magic
gave him the exact
ride?
Same duties.
Oh, okay.
He said that was his duties this year were the same as last year.
Okay.
Busy guy. I mean, he's got a lot of stuff on his plate as it is. But
yeah.
You go back to the question about Bill Belichick's future. You know, the assumption when Josh stood the Colts up at the altar last year and came back here was that the promise was made that you're the coach in waiting.
So that's still
they
on the table,
right? They
all
deny that, by the way. But
well, yeah, because you can't legally say that, I suppose. But don't you think that's still on board? But the fact that he took an interview, like, I'm very confused by the whole thing. Like, he took an interview, so that would lead me to say, well, maybe Belichick is telling everybody he's going to be here for a lot longer. But then he is back, so then you're like, all right, well,
says
the fact
he's not
that he's
there, to anybody else.
Yeah, and he's not taking any of these other interviews, so we'll see. Because there were 8 openings this year. And which one is Bruce Arians? He's going to Tampa Bay, right? Is there anyone others that are 100% filled besides we now know about LaFleur going to Green Bay?
No.
Okay. So there's still six available jobs.
Reportedly, you know, Cliff Kingsbury has the Arizona job if he wants it, but that's reportedly.
Could be there. Cincinnati, who knows what they end up doing? Could be Hugh Jackson's show there. The Colts. I don't know. I mean, not the Colts. Cleveland, I'm saying that one still remains up in the air. Miami, like there's still a bunch of jobs out there. So teams are taking their time. They're interviewing all these coaches. But as it stands right now, it looks like McDaniels is going to be back. So that is definitely a good thing as the Patriots are concerned. Right? I think Brady's going to be happy. Kraft's going to be thrilled. There's a reason why they gave him a raise and you know, I don't want to say begged him, but they really encouraged him to come back here.
Well, they put the full court press on to keep him here.
So they did that for a reason.
I mean, supposedly he was at the office boxing things up, preparing to hop on that charter flight to Indianapolis. And they went, no, right. No, don't
please
go.
Stay. We'll make you the highest paid coordinator. He's like, all right, fine, I'll stay. And in his words, it's one of the best jobs there is. Like, okay.
So
nice job.
We've also talked earlier today about, you know, the Patriots going into the playoff game this weekend and how many people, and I shouldn't say that, I am less confident about this game than I can remember in a long time.
Is this the toughest divisional round game that they have ever had?
Well, they've actually lost in the divisional round before.
How many times?
Twice.
Twice.
Yeah.
Two divisional round losses and only one at home,
They
right?
lost in Denver in 2015.
Was that Jake the Snake?
They lost 27-13.
Oh, no, in 15. Oh, never mind.
2005.
Five, you mean. Yeah, that must have been Jake the Snake.
That's the Ben Watson game.
Yeah, Chad where Bailey, Ben Jason Watson down. Made the, yeah, the run
still
from
still a
behind.
Touchback. Sorry, everybody. Still a touchback.
And the other one that they lost was at home, 2010, to the Jets.
That was
Rex
the biggest
Ryan,
shock.
Mark Sanchez.
That was a shocker. Not that the Patriots were necessarily, you know, a team that was going to dominate and win the whole thing in 2010, but they had just beaten the Jets earlier in the year, like 45-3 or something insane. And then Rex Ryan and Mark Sanchez won a game. So they've only lost, if you want to look at it that way, they've had a lot of chances. They are, what, 11-1 at home in the divisional round. And there were some close ones. I mean, the snow game, the Jermaine Wiggins game. That was a divisional round game. Now, that was before the whole thing really got started and how good they were.
Now, once in 2009, they lost in the wild card game, so they didn't even get
to
this
round. Yeah, right. So if you're thinking of that one, that was the round before.
And twice they didn't make the playoffs, 2002, 2008.
Right.
But other than that,
so they've gotten
this far.
So in the last 17 years, well, make it 18, they have been in the divisional round 13 times. So the record of them being in the conference championship game, the consecutive streak, which is at stake, they could make it 8 in a row. That's already silly. Like, any way you slice it, these numbers are just ridiculous.
They've won their last seven.
Yeah.
Their last seven of the divisional round games have been at home here.
Right.
They've won
and
all seven.
And some blowouts in there.
Oh, yeah. 45-10, 41-28, 43-22, 35-14.
Yeah.
Last year against Tennessee.
Right, against Tennessee. Like, those are teams that just didn't feel like they belonged on the same field. You go earlier in their time, the Oakland Raiders were a good team that they beat. The Tennessee Titans all the way back in 03, that was Steve McNair, the year that McNair and Peyton Manning were co-MVPs, and they beat them both in back-to-back weeks. That was a good team in a really close game. But for the most part, and look at some of those numbers that they've put up. They've put up over 40 points three straight years. They put up over, or at one point, 11, 12, and 13. They've put up over 30-something points. Like, they dominate in the divisional round game. And I don't
and
get
yet,
that sense
I don't
at all.
Feel confident at all going into this game. The things that I'm relying on for this weekend are a lot of travel for the Chargers.
Right.
Back and forth to L.A. twice, you know, in an eight-day period. And cold weather.
Yeah, right. So you're banking on cold weather.
Those are the two things.
I know.
I mean, obviously, if you have the bye, you have the advantage. But as you pointed out, the number is dropping. They opened at 4.5. They're down to 4. It's probably going to continue to drop as the week goes along.
I have a feeling this is going to be more like a that Baltimore Ravens game from 2014. So you either look at it as the Lee Evans drop game or the Sterling Moore broke up a pass in the end zone game. Both may be true. Like, Lee Evans probably should have caught it, but Sterling Moore made a nice play on it. Patriots won that game 35-31. Now, I could see it being a little bit lower scoring than that, but as far as competitive start to finish, I have a feeling that that's what we're in store for on Sunday. I think both these teams are, these are, you know, Tony Romo said it a bunch on the broadcast last week, but I agree with him. The four teams that are left in the AFC could all go to the Super Bowl, whereas most years where you look at the divisional round, there's one team who usually plays the Patriots, or sometimes even two, that you say, no chance. That team is not going to the Super Bowl. But couldn't you see Andrew Luck getting there, or Patrick Mahomes getting there, or Philip Rivers finally breaking through, and this finally being the year of Philip Rivers? Sure.
I could see it. Now, I also can see the Patriots beating the Chargers this weekend. They're the favorites.
Yeah.
They're at home. They have the advantages, as we said, the travel for the Chargers, the cold weather, all that stuff. You know, Philip Rivers is 0-7 in his career against Brady. He's 0-4 here against Brady. All of the advantages, so you would think that it's not going to be a shock, right, if the Patriots move into the AFC Championship for the eighth consecutive year.
No, it wouldn't be a shock at all. It's just going to be a tougher test, and, you know, Shaughnessy can't say they didn't play anybody to get there this year, which is other years he has, and there's been a lot of truth to it. This year, it's a real opponent that they're facing, so you got to toss that one out. I think last weekend we saw the road teams really dominate, and you're going to see road teams play well wild card weekend often, because you can be a team that's 12-4 like the Chargers and have to be a wild card team and then play a bad division winner. So even though you're going on the road, some of these division winners just happen to be in a dump of a division, and they're, you know, you go in there and you win. So last week, 3 out of 4 road teams won. This week, I feel like it could be the opposite. I feel like it might only be 3 out of 4, home teams will win, and that way only one road team does win.
Just as an observer, wouldn't you think that the Chargers' defense has a better chance of stopping Brady than the Patriots' defense does of stopping Rivers and his weapons?
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
I like the Chargers' defense better than the Patriots' defense.
Yeah, I do. I don't think it's a huge advantage. Like, if they were playing the Ravens, you would look at it and say, well, Baltimore has a significant edge there. Their defense is a lot better. The Chargers' defense is definitely good, but I don't look at them like, oh, this is going to be this crazy defense. It's going to be impossible to score. I don't think there are any of those teams. Like, Baltimore is the best defense. It's funny. The best defenses left in the league, it's going to be an offensive team winning it this year. Like, there's just every team that's left, I feel like their offense is better. Doesn't mean they have bad defenses, but every team left, their strength is probably on offense.
I think the Patriots will win, but I'm not confident. I mean, we talked about they've won 7 in a row in this round.
Yeah.
And I felt really confident in all 7 of those. Now, they weren't all blowouts. Some of them were. As you said, back in 2014, they beat Baltimore by 4. You know, they beat...
There's one game. That was the Baltimore game by 4 was the only game decided by less than a touchdown. They beat the Chiefs by 7. So less than a touchdown, there was only one. So my guess is they covered the spread in all those other ones. You know, and even some of them are probably big time spreads. This one's going to be as close as there was come kickoff. That's another thing we can look at. But I bet this is going to be as close as there was, because they don't have that thing where, you know, usually if you would expect the Chargers to be 500 on the road or maybe 5-3. But the fact that they're 8-1 on the road and, you know, went into Kansas City and won, just went into Baltimore last week and won, like that is as tested of a 5 seed as I feel like you're going to find in the playoffs ever.
And as you pointed out yesterday, they had a better record than the Patriots.
They did.
They just play in the wrong play in the wrong division in that regard.
Yeah, right, exactly. But they seem to be a team that is capable of going on the road. Like, if the roles were reversed, I feel like Kansas City would have had a much more challenging time winning a couple of road games to get to the Super Bowl. The Chargers seem like, for whatever reason, they're built for that.
And at the same time, as we look at it, assuming the Patriots win this weekend, let's just play that game. They beat the Chargers. They're going to be favored. You know, we're not going to be shocked if they win. If they do win, I feel like if they host the Colts, they'll win that as well. If they have to go to Kansas City, I think they have no chance.
Yeah, I think they lose in Kansas City. The Colts won, I don't know, to be honest. That means the Colts would have gone into Houston, smacked them around, and beat the Chiefs in Kansas City. It would be hard to pick against them, too, because they've been the hottest team. Go back to, what, Thanksgiving. The Colts have been on fire. They started the year 1-5, and now here they are, and Andrew Luck's playing like an MVP. So no matter what, if the Patriots do make the Super Bowl, they're going to have played two of the toughest back-to-back games that I think they've played in the AFC playoffs in really quite some time.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. Nick's up in Maine. Hey, Nick.
Hey, what's going on?
How are you, Nick?
I don't know if you guys saw the report that the knee sprain for Melvin Gordon. I think over the week it'll stiffen up. I don't know, just my thoughts.
Isn't it as likely that he'll get treatment every day this week and he'll feel better? I mean, he did come back. He did come back after tweaking the knee this past weekend.
Yeah, of course. Of course he came back. He probably got treatment during halftime. Came back out. I mean, he still played a limited amount of snaps. They're up big. They didn't play him as much as you would see them play him if they were right in the game. Like, they only played him a meaningful, I feel like. I mean, I don't know how many touches exactly he had in the second half, but it wasn't something you see from Melvin Gordon. I mean, still, he only had that one touchdown. How many yards did he have? I don't know.
Not much. Yeah, no, he was pretty limited. But that's also the Ravens defense, not the Patriots defense.
I mean, and then coming to Foxborough, what's it going to be, 20 degrees this week? Possibility of snow? I mean, I think if it does end up snowing, I know it's been back and forth on the weather. But, I mean, that could be a huge advantage for the Pats. I mean, if Melvin Gordon is not 100%. I mean,
but do you hear what we're doing, Nick? We're trying to figure out ways the Patriots can beat the Los Angeles Chargers. Well, if Melvin Gordon doesn't feel well, if it snows, you've got a home game in the division round, you got to feel fairly confident most times, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm feeling confident anyways. I mean, you got Stephon Gilmore covering Keenan Allen. I mean, is that not a good matchup for the Patriots? I mean, on defense? What are we really scared of on defense? Phillip Rivers is a decent quarterback, but I mean,
right. No, he's a real good quarterback. He's a real good quarterback. He's had a better year than Tom Brady has this year.
Oh, I mean, yeah, but I mean, that's fine. I mean, Tom Brady's at 41. I mean, Phillip Rivers should have a great year with the offense that he's had. I mean, but, like, I'm feeling pretty confident in the Pats. I mean, it's a home game. The weather, exactly why the Patriots had to buy is exactly where you want the Patriots, I feel like. I mean, have a team from L.A. coming back to the East Coast second time.
I mean, all that stuff helps.
You've got the advantages. I agree with that.
Now, Melvin Gordon dodged a real bullet earlier in the year. I forget which week it was, but he went down, and it looked like he was going to be done for the season. It was like week 12, I think he got hurt. And then he was able to miss like a month, and then he's come back, and he's been okay since he's been back. I don't think you've really seen the good Melvin Gordon since. And last week, 17 carries, 40 yards, did have a touchdown. That is against a really good defense, though, to be fair. But that's an interesting one because he's going to play. Like, the injury is not bad enough. I think Ian Rapoport was tweeting about it today. He's got, like, a knee sprain. So he's going to play. But I could see a scenario where he re-aggravates it or he's struggling early on. Wouldn't it be amazing if he did the same LaDainian Tomlinson, like pout on the bench? Now, I don't think Gordon's that kind of guy.
I don't either.
But it'd be pretty amazing if, you know, the last time they faced Philip Rivers and the Chargers that, you know, you have your running back who can't go.
617-779-7937. Steve, you're next on Sports Radio's Dale and Keith.
Hey, Dale and Keith. This is my favorite show of all time.
Thank you, Steve.
I enjoy listening to you guys. But
thanks.
Dale.
Yes, sir.
I really got insulted when you say if the Patriots go to Kansas City,
they have
no chance.
Oh, no. I actually feel that way.
I absolutely disagree. I couldn't disagree with you more. First of all, once the Chiefs knows the Patriots are coming to town, absolutely, there will be a really, really, really nerve-wracking for them. They are going to host Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, who just got off the Super Bowl just last year. When was the last time Kansas City had been in the Super Bowl? They have a rookie quarterback.
Super Bowl four?
This season haven't won any game in prime time. Okay, it's the first time he's going to be going to AFC Championship game, which the Patriots are known to it. They've gone 8 of those. I believe any team right now, if they know the Patriots are coming to town, they will be scared to death. This is the dangerous team. It's not as the team of the past, but it's still a very good team to win AFC Championship anyway.
What I know is that the Patriots this year were 3-5 on the road.
You're right, Dale, but it doesn't matter. Right now, it's one game. It's one game. That's it.
Yeah, but they played like crap on the road.
You're correct, but again, it's a one-game season, guys. It's one game.
Sure.
Well, they got to get there first. It's a one-game season. They may not win this Sunday.
Steve, I will grant you that it's hyperbole to say they have no chance. Of course, every team has a chance, especially a team that's got Brady and Belichick and all that. I would say that if the Patriots have to go to Kansas City for the AFC Championship, I don't like their chances.
No. I would pick the Chiefs.
Chiefs were 7-1 at home. Patriots were 3-5 on the road. Now, the Patriots here, I'd take them against anybody.
They beat the Chiefs here earlier in the year.
And everybody else they played this year.
Mm-hmm.
But on the road, not so good.
Don't love it.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We got Kiefer Madness still to come. We'll get back to your calls as well. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Get connected with Rich Keefe on Twitter, @Keefe21. Now back to more of Dale and Keefe on Sports Radio, WEEI. Kiefer Madness?
Kiefer Madness?
Yes, I'm ready for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Rack that one up for Kiefer Madness, will you?
Is he going to talk about ducks wearing clothes and stuff?
What did you say?
Going to be like Kiefer Madness. He's going to be in a great buildup and then nothing.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Keefe's a nice guy. Okay.
So screw you, Keefe.
Yeah. Right. Screw you.
We don't need you.
Stupid jerk.
We don't need you.
Kiefer Madness.
I hate Rich Keefe's guts.
Rich Keefe is just that guy makes you rock.
Kiefer Madness.
I don't think this is one of the stronger segments.
Oh, yeah. We had the Desperado play. That's when we put Rossi in.
Hey, gentlemen, I think you're funny.
Yeah, I already got my T-shirt made for the next Super Bowl. It says, hey, Bill, just let the players play.
Let the players play. It is noon 30.
Write that down.
Just past noon 30 here on Dale and Keefe. A little Kiefer Madness
Tuesday.
Time.
Forget where we were for a
minute. I was like,
there?
Do I say WEEI? Do I say Dale and Keefe? What do you want me to say?
Time limit.
Oh, no. The reason I wanted to say this real quick was, so you heard the Kawhi Leonard.
That?
Did you see when Toronto was in Milwaukee the other night? Every time there was a turnover, they played that?
I know.
That was
excellent
pretty,
work.
That
seemed
was
a little harsh.
That was actually pretty funny. We got a story out in Oregon, Dale, that we need to tell you about. There was a gentleman that had an issue at one of these fast food places. We're going to call it Burger King because that's where it was. And
good reason, Rich.
It's got nothing to do with the food or whatever, but this is a gentleman had had a bit of an issue out in Oregon. One issue led to another, so let's get to it.
An Oregon man is suing Burger King for backing out of a Meals for Life deal.
Let me stop you right there. A Meals for Life deal.
There is a program that allows you to do that?
Well, if you sue them, you might be able to get Meals for Life.
I'm just saying, I've never heard of this Meals for Life
deal. Meals for Life at any place, I feel like, would be a little overkill.
Well, it depends.
Although, that's true.
Free it's for me. I want that.
That's true. Would you eat there every single day?
Honestly, yes.
Like, if you had one of those cards,
you would
eat at one place every single day?
If it was free, I never had to pay for it?
That's right.
Yes.
Really?
I make it work.
Maybe. There's enough on some of these menus that maybe you could.
Especially nowadays, these fast food restaurants, every day they're coming out with some new item or some new menu that, like,
that's true.
Healthier.
And you could get whatever you wanted. Or could you?
Whoa.
See, there could be a little bit of a loophole. Because you hear Meals for Life, and you're thinking, I just show up anytime I want. Three meals a day I could have there. Well, maybe not so fast.
Is suing Burger King for backing out of a Meals for Life deal. Curtis Bruner says the fast food giant offered the deal because he got locked in the bathroom for more than an hour at a chain restaurant in Wood Village last month.
Wait.
So what this
is the Meals for Life being served in the bathroom?
No, he got out, Dale. He got out of there.
Thank God.
But this...
Thoughts and prayers were answered.
Gentlemen, this scholar found himself locked into a bathroom.
Was he locked in or was he too large to get through the door?
Dale, that could be the case as well. But think about that. You're in there for an hour and you're going to parlay that into Meals for Life? I feel like that's a decent deal. Would you sit in a bathroom for an hour by yourself for Meals for Life at any place?
I would at my house. I mean,
not that bathroom. A fast food bathroom.
No.
Rossi would do it in a second. Rossi's
yes.
on his way out the door
I
right now.
For 5 hours.
Rossi's going to lock himself in there. 5 hours?
For free meals
you would
for
sit
life?
In,
a day. I'd do it like going to jail for a day.
You would do 5 hours a day?
No, I do an entire day, 24 hours in a bathroom.
What?
For
no
free meals
asking
for life?
You to do 24 hours.
I'm up
now
in
you're
the
doing 24
ante.
Hours? Well, that sounds reckless.
1 hour,
if anything,
is easy. That's not even
one,
a problem.
No, 1 hour really doesn't seem that bad.
I've been there before.
You've been stuck in a bathroom for an hour?
I wouldn't say I was stuck, but...
You locked yourself
I've,
in.
I've spent some time in some bathrooms.
All right. Okay.
He got locked in the bathroom for more than an hour at a chain restaurant in Wood Village last month.
So let's hear from this gentleman's lawyer. We're going to hear from the guy's lawyer who got him this sweet, sweet deal.
I think we'll reach a fair settlement. It's not the crime of the century, but my client...
Well, to put it mildly,
was there
sir...
Was a crime?
He got locked in the bathroom.
Wait, a crime?
He locked himself in the bathroom.
Well, I was going to say, if the restaurant employees locked him in...
Right.
Then we got a case here.
We do find out a few more details here, but that's what happened. He was just locked in the bathroom, so it's certainly not the crime of the century.
It's not the crime of the century, but my client was presented with an offer. He accepted it, and a deal is a deal.
Bruner and his attorney are suing for about $9,000 or the cost of one burger meal a week until he turns 72. The franchise owner of the restaurant has not commented on the lawsuit.
One burger meal a week until
one
he's...
burger
see, now,
meal a week? Well, no, that is not food for
no,
life.
This, no, this sounds better. I mean, if it was every day, it's like, no.
Every day.
No, I'm not interested.
But now you can only...
Once a week?
I feel like that's barely a deal, though. So once a week, you can go in there and get a burger for like... It's the burger meal. So what is that? $8?
Burger,
bucks,
fries,
$5?
And a drink, right?
Yeah. One a week, though?
Now, this is not the deal we were talking
this
about.
This lawyer, I don't think, is all that good.
Rossi's no longer sitting in that bathroom for 24 hours to get a burger meal a week.
Not for a week.
How about the co-anchor here being kind of disgusted?
For about $9,000 or the cost of one burger meal a week.
Just snickering.
Oh, please. Oh. Now, we have more from the lawyer here. We're going to get a little bit more on this story because there's more layers to this.
Went to the restroom, washed his hands, and when he went to pull the door, it wouldn't open. They eventually gave him a fly swatter to try to jimmy the door open with.
And then he set himself on fire. And that's why we're suing the place for every penny.
Now, wait. Was he locked in the bathroom
yes.
or was he locked in the stall?
He was
because a fly swatter is not going to help you with the bathroom door.
That's a good question.
It was a bathroom, like an entire bathroom. It was a handicap bathroom he was in.
It was like, you know, like those one-person
okay, so
bathrooms.
It was a whole bathroom.
Like, yeah.
Okay,
and so they're like, here, take this fly swatter. Here, use this. Why don't you just give him like a whopper? Just give him a whopper to get
out.
You
couldn't squeeze it under the door.
No,
it's
I guess
hard.
That's true.
To pull the door, it wouldn't open. They eventually gave him a fly swatter to try to jimmy the door open with, which actually cut his hand.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so they gave him a foreign object, which he cut himself with, and then that's where the one burger meal per week for life has come into play.
It was not a pleasant experience for him, and it shook him. And
so he was shook.
Come on.
Dale, he was shook.
Okay.
He was shook.
And he spent an hour in the restaurant afterwards gaining his composure.
Or was he eating his feelings?
And wolfing down a couple of Big Macs.
He had to gather his feelings for an
hour.
You
know there was a shake involved?
There was definitely, oh yeah, nice thick shake. I could go for one of those.
I will
right
say,
now.
BK?
Yes.
Kills it in the shake game.
Yes, they do. I would love one right now.
And to make things right, Burger King offered him basically free food for the rest of his life.
Kind of, though.
A burger meal a week for the rest of your life. By the way,
yeah.
if they offered that and he accepted it,
that's on him.
We're done.
Yeah, that's on him.
We're all good.
Yeah, fine.
Should he come into the restaurant? I think there are some funny elements to the case. There's nothing funny about being locked in a dank bathroom for over an hour.
A dank bathroom.
Now we're talking about the cleanliness standards in the restaurant.
Yeah, now you're putting that out
dank
there.
Dank has several different meanings.
It does.
Just leave
them
alone.
We're going to move along.
We estimated his life would last about 72 years, which is about...
Well, like this fat tub of lard, we would be fortunate to see his 70s.
It makes
There's
72.
No chance. Like 72. We put him at 72. We ran it through the processor. We said he could, burgers for life. That's till he's 72.
We estimated his life would last about 72 years, which is about 5 years less than average based on his frequent consumption of cheeseburgers.
Which, again, it's all circular here.
You know,
it all
based
goes right
on how
back.
Many of these burgers he's wolfing down.
But the more you feed this guy, the less you're going to eventually have to feed this guy. They should have said a burger a day or two burgers a day. Then you're not paying him until he's 72. The gentleman's 50, I believe. Oh. And so you'd be doing it for another 5 years.
I used to get paid to eat burgers. And no one ever told me. Well, I assumed I wouldn't live forever. But like,
did they try to put a year on you?
No, they didn't say,
you're
only going to make it to 70. But I also didn't get locked in a bathroom.
No, that's true.
In a
that's
fly swatter.
You're very different than this gentleman.
2 years, which is about 5 years less than average based on his frequent consumption of cheeseburgers. I think we'll reach a fair settlement. It's not the crime of the century, but my client was presented with an offer. He accepted it, and a deal is a deal.
So good luck to you, sir.
So they've offered the deal.
Yes.
He's accepted it. What's the beef here? Sorry about the pun, but I mean, what's the beef? Is there a conflict here?
I don't know.
They've offered the deal. He's accepted it.
Right.
Why do we need this lawyer?
I think maybe. Well,
they're trying to take
a percentage. What does he get? Fries? What does he get?
Wait! They're trying to renege on their deal.
Yes, that was the original news story. I don't think the guy ever circled back.
No, he never got there. But
he started
mentioned
off
it at the beginning.
Story.
Yeah, he mentioned it at the beginning. This.
So they're trying to.
Well, then they're wrong. They offered the deal. He took it.
Yeah. See right here.
Suing Burger King for backing out of a Meals for Life deal.
Now I'm totally on this guy's side.
They're backing out. You guys agreed to it.
Yes, you offered it to him. He accepted it.
Well, because they probably
give the man his burger.
He's been showing up every Monday at noon. Like I'm here for my meal. And they're like, oh my god, this guy again? You kidding me with this guy again? So there's this. So that's out in Oregon. You got to be careful out there.
See, I'm now totally on his side.
Burger King pulled a Josh McDaniels.
I don't know that that's how I was
that's
looking
exactly
at it.
That's exactly what happened.
He thought they had a deal. Next thing you know,
yes.
He's hired a whole bunch of people to, you know, come along with him when he goes in for his meal. And that's just, you got to the very end of this whole thing, and all of a sudden I turned. The swerve happened.
No, I know that you did.
The wrestling swerve. I'm now on this tub of goose side. That was probably harsher than I intended it. But
yes,
yeah,
a little bit.
We estimated his life would last about 72 years, which is about 5 years less than average based on his frequent consumption of cheeseburgers.
By the way, that's probably overestimating, too.
Seems high. It does seem a little high.
It's a lawyer.
There.
Based on his consumption of cheeseburgers.
It's nonstop. With this guy. It's nonstop with the burgers, so we agreed on 72.
617-779-7937. Right back to the calls with you coming up next. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
An Oregon man is suing Burger King.
It's not the crime of the century, but there are some funny elements to the case. There's nothing funny about being locked in a dank bathroom for over an hour. Burger King offered him basically free food for the rest of his life. We estimated his life would last about 72 years, which is about 5 years less than average based on his frequent consumption of cheeseburgers.
Back to Dale.
It is a perfect, gigantic bucket of suck.
And Keith.
Have a little respect for yourself.
WEEI on WEEI.
Is the telephone number. Text line 37937. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI. Back to the calls with you guys we go. Noah is in Salem. Hey, Noah, how you doing?
What's up, Noah?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
Great, good. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
So, obviously, I'm a huge Patriots fan. I've been, you know, anticipating this matchup for a long time. I've had this called all season, Chargers-Patriots. A lot of people have been talking about, you know, the Phillip Rivers versus Tom Brady. I haven't really heard anybody really mention the Patriots' newly emerged run game. And I think that if the Patriots would can establish the run early and to utilize, you know, Cordell Patterson the way they have, James White, Stoney Michel, you know, he's had pretty much a breakout season as a rookie. I just want to hear what you guys have to say about that. Like, what do you guys think the run game, you know, what impact the run game would have on this game?
I think it's the most important it's been in like a decade or more. Actually, probably more than like 2 decades.
And
it feels like forever since
as good
been
as I think the Chargers defense is, they've had problems against the run this year.
Right.
That's the advantage you've got. Your run game, as the caller pointed out, has been better than normal. B, we talked about this yesterday. The ratio of pass to run is as close to being even here as it's been in a long time. They've made it a priority, and the Chargers have had trouble stopping the run.
Yeah, no, they've had their issues, but so have the Patriots. You know, you could say it's important for both teams, and that's where Melvin Gordon's health status comes into play a little bit, although their backups have been able to run, you know, this season when given an opportunity. But yeah, normally you say as long as it's not Steven Jackson bad, you know, going back to 2015, as long as it's not that bad, I don't really care if the Patriots run the ball that much. But this year is different. Like this year, Sony Michel's probably going to need to get 18 to 20 carries. You know, James White and Rex Burkhead, maybe they combine for another 10. And now you're talking about, you know, do they throw the ball 30 times and run the ball 30 times? Like, yeah, that could realistically happen.
That could happen, and especially if the conditions are as bad as we think they could be.
Sure.
I like the run. I like that aspect of things for the Patriots this weekend, especially if Melvin Gordon's less than 100%, and he probably will be. You know, maybe that's the advantage you have is that you can run the ball better than they can run the
ball.
Well,
and then you'll see, too.
Although
I mean,
the Patriots run defense.
Not great. The Chargers took away Lamar. Like, they did a great job against Lamar Jackson last week. And so this week, going up against Tom Brady, what do they try to do? Are they going to, if they force him to pass, then he'll pass. Like, that's one of the great things the Patriots have done forever, is if they're going up against a team that is kind of forcing them to do one thing, or if they take one thing away, fine, then they go the other way. So if they're loading up saying, all right, we're going to stop Sony Michel, well, then the Patriots are going to be throwing it. Like, no matter what the weather conditions are. But if it's the other way, and if you see all these defensive backs on the field, then I'm sure they're going to run it a bunch.
617-779-7937. David's in Fall River. Hey, David.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Great.
Great. Great. I was listening to a little bit about Melvin Gordon being hurt, and they have a couple of pretty good backups with Eckler and Jackson.
Yep.
I think the defense is going to play well against the Patriots. Now, remember, you've got you have Melvin Ingram, Joey Bosa on that line. Then you have King, Derwin James, and the other kid, I can't remember his name, as their corner. So I think the Chargers are going to do well this weekend against the Pats. They are definitely going to play a different game.
Are you picking the Chargers?
I'm a Chargers fan, of course. Yeah, I'm picking the Chargers.
Oh, okay.
Just because I'm curious, David. Sure. It says David and Fall River on my screener. How did you become a Chargers fan?
Air Coryell.
Oh, man. That was Air Coryell, exactly. That was way back in the 70s when I became a Chargers fan.
Yeah.
I think the 0-7 drought for Phillip Rivers is going to end this weekend.
Of course you do. You're a Chargers fan.
Yeah, it could.
But if they go to the run, that's the only problem I see for the Chargers defense would probably be the run with Sony Michel.
Could be a big Sony Michel game. This could be it after an up and down year for him. I mean, he had some really good games. You know, started out slow and he was coming off the injury, but there's a chance, you know, he could go in there, rookie running back, over 100 yards. It could be a monster Michel game. It wouldn't be surprising.
It's always weird to me how you have certain fan groups. Like, there's a huge packet of Dolphins fans in Rhode Island.
Ugh.
We get a lot of calls about the Dolphins.
Ugh.
Whenever the Patriots are playing the Dolphins, the Rhode Island calls.
Yeah, I don't get it.
There's a fair chunk of Raiders fans, but I think that has to do with betting. You know, the Raiders were always the late game. You were always counting on the Raiders to kind of get you back in the black.
Well, they were cool, too. They had, like, the cool logo. They had the cool starter jacket. That's why people like the Raiders.
The starter jacket.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about
that factor. You know, Ice Cube would wear the stuff in the NWA. You'd see that. You'd say, hey, they're Raiders fans. I'm a Raider fan.
617-779-7937. Roger, you're next on Sports Radio's Dale and Keefe.
Hey, what's up, Roger?
Hey, Keith. How are you guys doing?
How are
you? Good. Let me turn my radio off.
Oh, that'd be great.
Thank you.
There we go. Hey, yeah, geez, I've been on hold so long. I've been in the bathroom at Dalvio's. I'm just trying to get out.
You stay there another
good
hour.
Luck. You're not getting a meal for life there, pal. I'm just telling you.
I'm actually looking at Gronk to come back, and maybe not the Gronk of old, but to really make a difference. That part of the game should open up along with the running game. Of course, for the pass rush, you're not going to get anything deep on them, but a lot of that will open up. I think the matchup is good for the Patriots, actually.
Your phone is cutting in and out on us. Your overall point about Gronk, I mean, it sort of feels like wishful thinking, doesn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, maybe I'm being too negative here.
The bye week, I think, will help. Absolutely.
I do not expect a big Rob Gronkowski performance on Sunday. I just don't. It's been a while since we've really seen one. And I know he had good numbers against Miami. And hell, I'll just take good numbers. But as far as just a dominant game and, you know, catching passes in traffic and, you know, shoving guys around, we haven't seen that. Week one, maybe? Like that? We have not.
The one big play in the last game of the regular season and it got called back.
Right. Now, his playoffs last year, of course, he had a monster Super Bowl game. Super Bowl game? Who says that? Yeah. He had a monster Super Bowl. 9 catches, 116 yards, 2 touchdowns. Now, the Jacksonville game was the game he got hurt in. He got the concussion. He only had one catch. So they won a game where he had just one catch. And that was where you get the Tom versus Time and Brady talking to Gronk in the car. And be like, I can't believe we won this game without you.
Yeah.
You get that whole thing. And the week before against Tennessee, he was great too. He had 6 catches, 81 yards, and a touchdown. So normally Gronk has played in 13 playoff games. And that includes a couple where he was like a decoy or the one where he was hurt, or a game where he left early, like in Jacksonville. And he has 12 touchdowns in 13 games. And again, I put an asterisk by the 13 games. So he's been super productive in the playoffs, but I just don't think this year, just based on the body of work, what we've seen. Now, the time off, and William McGinnis talked about that with us earlier today. The time off, you give him a bye week. Maybe if Gronk was going to have a good game in the playoffs,
this would be the one.
It'd be this one, or I guess technically the Super Bowl.
Because he'll have a bye week.
Yeah,
theoretically
it wouldn't be
that.
The AFC Championship game. It'd be this one. And so maybe you can talk yourself into that. Maybe he can help you get there. But then once you're there, maybe he goes back to being like the Gronk we saw this season.
I mean, we believe that he's less than 100% physically. He certainly looks like he's less than 100%. They don't talk about it. I don't expect them to. Do we think he's suddenly going to get healed?
No.
I mean, is he...
No, but I mean, you take a week off, you take 2 weeks off, you get a little bit better, right? I mean, he's not gonna go back to being Gronk from last season like that. I think that guy is gone regardless. Even if he's at 100%, don't you feel like it's gone? At least I do. I think because
it's not just an injury thing. It is an accumulation.
Yes,
it's you know the pounding that he's taken. It's the way he's played, which. I mean, let's be honest, there were times when he could have avoided contact and he just never seemed
to. Yeah, I think it's more that. I think at this point...
He needs to play more like Antonio Gates in that regard.
Oh my God,
Maybe I'll just go out here.
Watching him, that was hilarious. And Trey Flowers even laughed about it. Like he saw it. Like he caught a pass, picked up a first down, 2 defenders, pick up a yard. Nope. Just get a jog out of it. He looks like he's running in quicksand, but he's still getting it done. And you see Rivers on third downs, he's still going to throw to Antonio Gates. That guy, I mean, he's had a Hall of Fame career, but the way he does it now, he just looks like he's running very gingerly just down the field. But they were leaving him open.
Gronk sort of looks like that, too.
He does a little bit. Yeah, but he's, what, like 10 years younger than Gates? or whatever it is?
Yeah.
Something like maybe 9? But that's, unfortunately, that's sort of where it's come to with Gronk. And that's why I'll be curious, how much attention do they put on him? Because even this year, there's been times where he's been doubled or triple teamed, and you're like, I don't know if you need to do that anymore. But does he still at least draw that kind of attention to free up the other guys?
If you don't double team him, who is it you're going to try to take out?
Nobody really scares you, right? I mean, I guess Edelman, because you're like, he's the guy that's going to move the sticks. He's going to throw to Edelman
the
most.
I mean, based on targets and catches, you'd say James White, but nobody doubles the running back out of the backfield.
How do you do that? Now, Edelman, too, he's going to have a tough matchup because Desmond King has been one of the best slot corners all season long. So he might just be one-on-one with him. And then they still can put two guys on Gronk if they want. You're not going to double-team Dorsett. You're not going to double-team Hogan. James White, you're right, it's just tough. I mean, you definitely want to know where he is at all times, but lining up in the backfield, I don't know if you're really going to double-team him necessarily.
Can the Patriots...
I'm starting to talk myself into the Chargers.
Well, I was just going to say...
The way things are going, based on
what,
out.
Well, yeah. Based on what you were saying, it's like, can the Patriots beat the Chargers with an average to below average Rob Gronkowski?
Eesh. That's where Sonny Michel comes in.
Like,
isn't that where Sonny Michel comes in?
Can they just run the ball down their
throat? They're going to have to. Like, Sonny Michel... And, you know, be, you know, 50-50. It can't be like the Buffalo Bills game. It's not going to be weighted so extreme to the run game. At least I don't imagine that. But if Sony Michel runs for a buck 20 and Brady can still throw for 220, 260, somewhere in there, and maybe Gronk has 40 yards, I mean, that could still be the game plan. And you would hope that, if this defense, can they put it together? Like, can Stephon Gilmore, huge challenge for him, but if he can limit Keenan Allen, like, they have other guys they throw to, but I mean, it's as even of a matchup, the more you think about it, that we've seen in such a long time. Like, it's almost a coin toss game.
Come on, snow.
Yeah, sure. Just another,
get us a blizzard
another variable
in here.
Into it. Why not? Let's see what happens.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Is it possible that there is at least one analyst out there in the football world who is just a bitter old man?
Oh, there's more than one.
Well, there's one in particular who sounds more and more like a bitter old man. We'll get to that. We'll get back to your calls as well. 617-779-7937. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.